Today on Stories Unbound, interview with literary agent Jennifer March Soloway, part two. Welcome to Stories Unbound, your guide to the growing world of kid lit and children's book publishing. I'm Shauna J.C. Tenney. I'm an author and an illustrator. My story went from personal project to published book, and I want to help you do the same in an ever-changing industry. Hey, hey, welcome, friends. Welcome to Stories Unbound. I hope you're having a great day, or at least after you hear this episode that you'll have a better day. I just finished helping put together our annual SCBWI Illustrators Conference here in Utah. And once again, it was a great conference. We had an art director from Peachtree and some illustrators come speak to us, and it's great to talk and mingle with everyone. And I'm wondering if any of you have gone to any great kidlit conferences lately. Maybe some of you went to the National SCBWI Conference in New York last month. Anyway, I hope some of you have had the opportunity to go to stuff like that lately and network and learn and have a great time and be inspired. Last time, in part one of our interview with Jennifer March Soloway, associate agent at Andrea Brown Literary Agency, we talked about query letters and how to submit your work to an agent. And today in part two, we talk about how to get started if you're a beginning writer, what makes a great critique group and why you need one, why you should learn to think like an editor, what Jennifer looks for in a writing submission, and important things to consider before signing on with an agent. Now, before we jump into the interview, I have a quick promotion for a course that we have here at the Oatly Academy. Whether you write children's books, screenplays, or novels, draw storyboards or comics, you are a storyteller. And every storyteller understands that turning our lofty thoughts into a finished work often feels like an uphill climb. The Storyteller Summit, an online course at the Oatly Academy, will provide guidance from some of the entertainment industry's best teachers. We'll help you master fundamental concepts like developing your protagonist, building a believable world, constructing a compelling plot, finding your voice, and fighting writer's block. And since stories are meant for others to enjoy, we'll also show you how to grow your audience online. Subscribe to the Storyteller Summit today and get instant access to our extensive and growing library of video lessons, our supportive community forums, downloadable worksheets, monthly Oatly Academy live sessions, and story groups that meet throughout the month where you can ask questions, share ideas, geek out about story, and find a great circle of trust. Your story is waiting. Sign up for the Storyteller Summit at oatlyacademy.com/go/SU Summit. You might also like to know that if you enroll today with that link, I'll get a small commission, which will go to support my career and my family. And again, that's oatlyacademy.com/go/SU, as in Stories Unbound, Summit. So when you are reading submissions, what things catch your eye and what things keep you reading?
Okay, that's a great question. So for me, I'm really into story. So I like funny, I like scary, I really love suspense. And so for me, it's always the writing. For a picture book, I like something that seems like a new twist on something I haven't seen before. It can be like something that's twisting on a common theme in a new way. I love things that make me laugh out loud with picture books, because I feel like picture books are the kind, they're meant to be read out loud. And I actually will read picture book manuscripts out loud when they're submitted to me. And I want to see how it feels to say the words aloud. Is it fun to read? Is it funny? Does it make me laugh? Does it really, you know, catch my attention? So that's definitely what I'm looking for in picture books. And even though I'm the big funny girl, I do like sweet as well. I do like something that will end on this really beautiful, poignant note.
Yeah.
And then for middle grade and YA, if you can raise a question in my mind that I just have to know the answer, even though I'm exhausted, I'll sit up till 3 a.m. reading it if I really like it.
Right.
So that's probably what I'm looking for the most. And I also really am a big proponent of great first lines that immediately set the tone for the story. I see a lot of early drafts that will have a lot of backstory or a lot of exposition, a lot of summary about what's going on. Hmm. And for me, that is less engaging. I am always looking for scene. Put me in a scene, but also ground it with context so I understand why I should care. We'll see a lot of action flick type openings where like, my heart was pumping and it's exciting. But at the same point in time, mm-hmm. I don't know mm-hmm. who this person is, why their blood is pumping, why they're running away. And so because of that, again, I'm only seeing the first opening pages and I'll just have to pass because it's not connecting with the character. So I want to really connect with the character and I want there to be something about the story that raises a question in my mind. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, I mean, I love suspense and I love big, crazy stories, but I also like very quiet stories too. It could be a conflict about, you know, not getting along with a friend or having an argument with your mother. It could be something very quiet or even just getting a bad grade on a test.
Yeah.
But if the stakes are there, if whatever happens, even if it's quiet, is something that's really important for the character and meaningful on an emotional level, I will connect and I will be there. So when I'm reading submissions, I'm reading all throughout the day and sometimes I'm reading very late at night. And if I'm reading a lot of submissions, I get what I call query box fatigue, which is where at some point I'm like, is this even good? I don't know. Like, I can't tell anymore. And I understand that about myself. And so a lot of times I will mark something a maybe. Like, I think it might be good, but I'm not really sure. And I will often go back and read one of my maybes several times before I request the manuscript to read. For example, one of my clients, she's a beautiful young adult writer. She's got a gorgeous literary voice and her book is amazing. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. But the first 10 pages were pretty quiet. The story was really quiet. The writing at the line level was gorgeous, but I didn't feel like there was that much happening in the first 10 pages. And I read that submission probably 4 times before I finally decided, you know what, I'm going to request this and see if there's something here. And of course, when I got to page 11, the story kicked in and the book is amazing and it's incredible. Hmm. So I often will mark things a maybe and go back and read several times over before the request because I like to get a chance. And similarly, you'll often hear from agents and editors, don't write a prologue. And the reason with prologues is because sometimes the prologue is incredible and amazing and super fun and engaging. And then you get to the first chapter and the first chapter is really boring. it has a very shift in tone and feel and voice.
Yeah.
And it's a jarring shift. And so that's not true of all prologues. Sometimes prologues are fantastic and the first chapter is fantastic and it really works all together. A lot of times if I read the prologue and it's not grabbing me, I will just skip the prologue and go to the first chapter.
Yeah.
Because often the first chapter is where the book really does start. And if I love the first chapter but I don't like the prologue, that's not a deal killer for me. That's an easy edit for me. And I might request the book then. And similarly, even a lot of times if there's like a lot of summary in the beginning of the piece, I might skip down and see if I can find a scene in the opening pages. And if that scene really brings me in, then I might request the book. It's probably too early of a project for me to offer representation, but I do try to give things a chance. I'm also very early in my career, so I have a little bit extra time to do stuff like that. I probably won't have the luxury of doing that later.
Yeah.
So again, that's why it's so important to make sure those first pages just really pop and that you've done everything you can to just present a great first opening pages.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's my reading process.
So after you've found a manuscript that you like and you decide that you want to represent someone, what are your next steps? What are some questions you ask the author?
Okay, that's a good question. So if I want to offer representation, I will email them and I say, wow, I'm really excited about your project and I would love to get on the phone and talk about what it might mean for us to work together. And then I usually set up a phone call and then I will talk to the author. And first we talk about the project. And usually what I will do, because I'm very editorial, is I will let them know what I loved about their book and why I think it's so great. And then I will also tell them some areas where I think they could revise to elevate or to make their work even stronger. And so I like to talk to the author to get their ideas about if that sounds right to them. So they can get a sense of my editorial approach and if it feels like a good fit. I tend to be really positive. I like to think of everything that's not working as an opportunity to make it stronger. I'm not the kind of person who's going to say, okay, this isn't working. I was confused here. You got to cut chapter five. What were you thinking on page five? That's not who I am. My approach is always, you know, like, here's an issue that I see. And I could see right now, maybe it's a little confusing, but I think that you could do one of these three different things. I could see it playing out this way or a second way or a third way. And any of one of those ways could elevate the work. And my hope is that when I'm working with an author that they will say, actually, it's none of those, or it's kind of a combination of two of those. And this is actually what it is, because I want it to be their story and their vision. If one of my suggestions is spot on, awesome. But what my real goal is to inspire them to find ways to elevate their work. And so my goal in talking on the phone is to see, you know, would we have that kind of relationship? Am I going to be able to help them in that way? Are we a right fit editorially? Mm-hmm. And then also I like to talk to them to find out what their expectations are. Mm-hmm. Talk about transparency is really important to me. I want them to feel like they can talk to me if there's a problem. I don't want them to be like, oh, I can't talk to my agent. I don't want to disturb her. You know, like, make sure that we have a good working relationship and that we can talk to each other. And there's going to be transparency. And if someone feels uncomfortable or doesn't feel like they can talk to me, then I'm not the right fit for them. And I don't want them to sign with me if they have a bad feeling. So I think it goes both ways. And I'm also feeling them out too. Like, do I feel like I can work with them? And then I also will tell them about my editorial style, which I've just told you. Because I'm very editorial, I have a planned turnaround. Like for picture books, I try to get feedback to my clients within a week. And for novels, I try to get feedback within 2 weeks. For a picture book, I might write anywhere from 1 to 5 pages of a feedback letter. And then for a novel, I might write, you know, anywhere from a 6 to a 15-page editorial letter or even 18 pages. And I want to make sure that, you know, the author understands that and understands that my goal is to help them elevate their work and not to be overwhelmed by it. So we talk through all of that. And then I always tell whoever I'm offering a representation to take 2 weeks to think about it.
That's great. That's great.
Think about who are your other options? Have you queried other agents? Do you have possibly other offers? I want to have a long-term career with someone. And so I want them to feel really good about signing with me.
Yeah.
And I even encourage everyone to do this. Like say you get an offer from me. I'm at a great agency, but I'm a new agent. And you say you're just dying to have a very established author with a long list of big clients, and that's who you want. And you've queried them, but you haven't heard back. You should write to all the people you've queried and said, I've received an offer of representation from an agent. Don't name names. They don't need to know. Just write down, got an offer from an agent. I have a deadline where I need to give that agent an answer within 2 weeks by this deadline. Are you interested in looking at my manuscript? For some agents, and this would even be for me, if I got that offer of representation letter from someone who'd queried me, say I hadn't gotten to their work yet, suddenly they're going to be at the top of my queue, right? They're going to be the top of my, because I've got a deadline. So I'm going to read it fast and make a decision fast. And that's what you want. And if you have more than one offer and you talk to me, talk to the other agents and see what their style is and think about who would be the best fit for you.
Yeah.
Also, with the Andrew Brown Literary Agency, we have a very simple termination clause. For any reason, any of my clients can decide that it's not working. That's all they have to do is say, you know what, this isn't working. Thank you very much. And they can end the relationship. It's very simple. And I will be responsible for any project that I've sold, and I will be the agent of record for that project I've sold. But anything after mm-hmm. we end our relationship is going to be someone else's project. I have no claims to future royalties, nothing. So I encourage everybody to look for that kind of, ask about the, you know, what is the author agent agreement? What is their real process? You know, what will your agent be doing for you? And I invest a lot of time and energy and thought and strategy into my clients. And I want someone who's going to also, you know, work with me and respond to that and feel good about it. I often will ask people to revise and resubmit for me. Like mm-hmm. say I'll see something, I think it's got a ton of potential, but it's not quite ready to the point where I would offer representation. I might ask them to do a revision. And for that, it's very important for that author to revise. Because I'm seeing like, can we work editorially together?
Yeah.
And if you do a really fast revision and just do a couple of quick fixes, that's not what I'm looking for. If I'm going to invest time and write you an editorial letter and get on the phone and really talk to you, I want to see that you're going to also invest the time and do a real for me. And if you don't, even if I see potential in your work, that is the one time when I might decide this is not going to be a good fit. Because I'm really good editorially, I think. I'm blowing my own horn a bit, I guess. But but I'm only good for so many rounds. And that's why it's so important to have a critique group and so important to have other beta readers. And yes, you should use your agent, but you really need to get other eyes on your projects. But for offer you revise and resubmit, that means I am interested in your work and I want it. But don't do something slapdash to send back to me right away.
Right. I like what you said about relying more than on just you as an agent. Because I think a lot of people just think their agent is like the last stop and they just revise with their agent.
Yeah.
And if their critique group points out something, maybe it's not as important as what the agent said, but I think it's good to have the feedback from both sides always coming in, for sure.
And get the critique group first. Like,
get it
to that certain level first. I would say it goes critique group, private editors or mentors or beta readers, whatever. Then you work with your agent and probably still your critique group as you're working through the revision.
Right.
And then you sell the book and then you're working with your editor. And even then, sometimes I might be involved editorially.
Yeah.
My goal is to always help my clients as much as I can.
That's really good. How are some other ways you help your clients with their short-term and long-term goals?
So that's something I actually will talk to a client, also a prospective client. I will ask them, like, what are they interested in doing? Like for picture book author illustrators, for example, I'll say, are you open to illustrating other people's manuscripts? Or do you just want to illustrate your own work? And then I will try and figure out ways to best serve the client for their personal goals. If I see an opportunity that I think would be great for them that maybe they're not as open to, I might say, hey, this actually might be, maybe you might want to consider this. And similarly with an author, I will talk to them like, what are your other projects? What are other things that you're working on? And we might strategize of what's the best thing for them to work on next. Sometimes it has to do with what I think might sell the best, but also I really believe that creative people should work on what they're passionate about. So if they've got three different ideas, but the one that's really burning in them is the one they want to work on, I'll figure out a way that should be their next project. But if you were a young adult author and your next book was about a girl who smells really good to vampires and she likes werewolves, I might say, what else have you got? Or similarly, let's say you are writing picture books and early middle grade that's super sweet. And on the side, you also want to write hardcore erotica. I might suggest that you write that under a pseudonym.
Yeah.
But there are other opportunities. Like sometimes there are intellectual properties where, you know, there might be a project that a publisher house wants to do where they're doing the concept and that's a different kind of project. But I might think that maybe my author would be great for that project and it might be a way for them to make money in a different way. I might suggest something like that. So I'm always looking for different opportunities. Also, I do represent some adult projects. For example, I have a young adult author who is working on an adult project next, and that was something that's really important to her. So we're going to do that.
Now, you said you haven't represented any people that are just illustrators, but do you have some author illustrators?
Yeah, I have author illustrators. I don't have anyone who's only illustrating.
when it comes to author illustrators, you're mostly just sending out dummy books, right? Or
the way I send out a dummy book with some sample art.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever just send out art, or would that be more an art rep that does that sort of thing?
So there are agents in our agency that represent illustrators only. And, and I hope to someday. I don't have any, I'm just new in my career and I don't have any of that yet. So yeah, I just haven't done that yet.
Yeah. So they're illustrators only that aren't writing. So they're just sending out art to art directors and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So for example, if you go to our agency website, we have an illustrator page where you can see all of our illustrator clients and you can click through our website to their online portfolio. If you are an illustrator, it's a wonderful way to make money and to get your art into the world. But also, even if you're a picture book author illustrator, you can also often illustrate other people's work. So when I have a picture book author illustrator who I talk to, and that's one of the things I'll ask them, like, what are your goals? What do you want to be doing? And then also, would you be interested in other kinds of art? Like, would you want to provide illustrations for a middle grade novel, for example? You know, there's a lot of opportunities out there. So I just, and my goal is to always figure out what's going to be the best fit for them and how to best build their career.
Yeah, for sure. What are some of your hopes for the future, for building your clients and for your big hopes in being an agent?
So right now, because I'm early in my career, I have some clients and I'm actively trying to build my list.
Yeah.
And I'm specifically looking for picture book author illustrators and authors. And right now I'm especially looking for middle grade and young adult authors. I really love novels. I mean, I also love picture books, but I need to build more right now in the fiction side of things. But for all you picture book author illustrators out there or illustrators, please query me. I'm hungry. I want to see your work. Please, please consider sending to me. Yeah. So that's my goal. And my goal is also to go out with more projects and sell more books. I mean, for me, I think the most exciting thing would be to really launch someone's career and be able to call them and tell them that I was able to negotiate this fabulous deal. You know, like the kind of thing of like, I just got you this advance and these royalties. And also even beyond that, seeing a book go into the world and seeing like readers respond to the project and, you know, getting fan mail. That's one of the most exciting things that I think is really fun at our agency. A lot of times correspondence for our authors will come through us and we get to see fan mail and it's just so exciting and fun.
Nice.
From kids, like it's just so great. So
yeah.
So that's really my big goal. I would love to just launch someone's career in a great way and I'm really looking forward to that.
Nice. Since you're sort of early in your career, are you going to a lot of conferences?
I am
meeting people there.
Conferences. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to lots of conferences. I speak a lot. I just got back from SCBWI Western Washington, where I spoke in Seattle and I taught a class and I met with 20 authors one-on-one.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm doing a lot of critiques right now for SCBWI. I just, I'm doing it for SCBWI Illinois. I'm going to Pittsburgh next month. I'm going to be doing Big Sur in December. I'll do the San Francisco Writers Conference in February. Yeah. So I'm doing a lot. I'm trying to get out there and meet as many writers as I can. And I will say that I love writers and illustrators. I love to talk to them. I love to riff on story. I love to give them advice. I can't do it when I'm, you know, in my normal day to day, but when I'm at conferences, I am there to engage with people. And I, again, I'm only speaking for myself, but it's totally fine to ask me questions anytime. If I'm at a conference, even in the bathroom, like come talk to me. I love to talk to people. I love to riff on story. I love to help people figure out their next step. So
I think that's great to go to conferences and see editors, agents, and be able to talk to them one-on-one and just know that we're all in this game together and we're all excited about books and it's good to ask questions and just talk about things. So I think that's great.
And all of us are looking for the next big thing.
Right.
And we don't know what it is. And I should say that even though you'll hear wish lists from people, no one knows what they want until they see it.
Right.
And so even though I might say, oh, that's not really my thing, if it's dynamite and I connect with it, it's my thing.
Right. You never know until you read it.
So just try me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely like, I love suspense. I love mysteries. I love puzzles. I really love contemporary stories that feel very real, like family issues, friendship issues, relationship issues, mm-hmm. mental illness, addiction, like all of the coming of age stuff that is so, it's just so hard to be
right.
a teenager or a preteen. Like, it's hard to grow up. And yeah. I love stories that really get into that and really explore it in a meaningful way. So I'm looking for all of that, but you know, if you've got something else that I've never even considered before, it might be exactly what I want.
Yeah. Let's do one last question. Do you have any small tips for writers who are just beginning and just getting into the publishing industry?
Yes. So to start off, I would definitely say start going to conferences. Mm-hmm. And try and do workshops and take classes. For Children's Lit, definitely consider joining SCBWI. It's a fantastic organization with a lot of resources, and the different regional chapters are amazing. It's a way that you can meet other people who are working in the same genre, same categories. Mm-hmm. And I would really recommend that you find a critique group. It's important to have other people read your work. They will see things in your work that you cannot see in your own. You know what you're trying to say, but sometimes what you're trying to say doesn't get onto the page, and you need other people to let you know, mm-hmm. you know, when they're confused or when things are missing. They will inform you your writing. Similarly, it's very important to read other writing that is raw. Other writing that is not yet polished. It's very important to read, and please read as much polished and published stuff as you can in the market. Mm-hmm. You should know your category. You should know what you're writing. You should know what else is out there. But it's also important to read stuff that is not polished, because I promise you, you will see issues and things that are not working in their writing that you are doing in your own. You can't recognize it in your own, but you can see it in theirs, and you'll have that aha moment where you go, oh my gosh, I do that too.
Yeah.
And then that will help you turn back to your own writing and help you be able to revise. Hmm. So I talk to some authors sometimes that say, oh, well, I can't find anybody who's at my level. Hmm. But I'm telling you, even reading stuff that is not polished, that is raw, that is rough, it can be informative to see what's not working and why, but then think about what would it take to make it work.
Yeah.
And that, so when you think like an editor, it will help you revise your own work.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way, but I like looking back on critique groups that I've been in, that has really helped me just, oh, like thinking critically about that.
And also I think that giving feedback is an art, and yeah. I think it's difficult. It's easy to say, oh, it's not working, or, oh, I'm confused, or, oh, my classic MFA workshop phrase is, I don't know, I just want more. But you know, it's harder to say why it's not working or what would it take to make it work. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage everyone to think like an editor and try and approach it that way. When you're providing feedback for someone else, really try to help them raise and elevate their work. And then similarly, you want to try and find people who give you really good constructive feedback. If you have a friend and they're not helping you, like if they're saying like, I don't know, this just isn't working, or they're giving you bad feedback, especially if it feels almost like a self-attack on you, then it's just not a good fit. And don't be afraid to break up with critique groups. You want to be selfish in the sense that you want to find people who are going to help you grow and evolve as a writer. You can be friends with them, go have coffee with them, go out to dinner with them, but don't be in a critique group with them.
Yeah.
Find someone else. And similarly, yeah. You might not be super good friends with your critique group. Maybe they're not the people you want to go have dinner with. That's okay.
Yeah.
Which the goal is to find people who can help you elevate and improve yeah. your work.
Yeah, that's great advice. And on that note, it's time to wrap up. So we would like to know where we can find you on the internet.
Yes, our website is andreabrownlit.com. Mm-hmm. And if you click on the agents page, I am at the very bottom. I'm the last agent listed because I'm the newest agent with the agency. Mm-hmm. And my email address is Soloway, which is a weird name. It sounds different than it's spelled. It's spelled S as in Sam, O, L as in Larry, O, W, A, Y, at AndreaBrownLit.com. And then I am also on Twitter. Please tweet me and you can follow my tweets. I try to tweet a lot about writing tips and workshops and opportunities and great stuff that I see in the news about publishing. Hmm. And my handle is at March, as in the month, M-A-R-C-H, Soloway. That's my middle and last name.
Cool. I've got to go follow me on Twitter now.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me on Stories Unbound. I've learned so much and I'm sure our listeners have learned so much, and it's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much, Shauna. It's been a delight, and I wish everyone the best of luck. Please query me. Keep fighting the good fight. Don't give up. Keep revising. You will get there.
So much awesome information from Jennifer. And again, when Jennifer was talking about next year, she was actually talking about 2017, since we recorded this back in the fall of 2016. So here's my question for you today. Jennifer talks about how giving feedback to others can help you become a better writer. How has giving feedback to others helped you in your own writing or illustrating? Go to oatleyacademy.com/go/SU18 and join us in the comments. Also, I would love to know if any of you are currently looking for an agent. As of the time of this recording, I am currently getting my stuff ready to look for another agent. So it's always a scary and exciting time, and we can cheer for each other. So come and leave a comment if you're looking for an agent right now. And as always, we appreciate you subscribing in iTunes and sharing the podcast with others. And I hope you will join us next time for our interview with Orly Zurovicki, editor at Scholastic. Until then, keep drawing and keep dreaming. Stories Unbound is a production of the Oatley Academy of Visual Storytelling. I'm your host, Shauna J.C. Tenney. Our producer is Chris Oatley. Our assistant producers are Anya Marcos and Ejua Ebeneba. Our editor is Kevin Scarborough. Our mix engineer is Zee John Young. Our theme music was provided by Ryan Keith and Wes Siepen. Subscribe at storiesunboundshow.com. Find more art and story podcasts featuring insights from some of the most inspiring voices in animation, games, VFX, comics, and children's books at friendsofstoriesunbound.com.